Okay, thank you. So, yeah, so I'm Matt. I am going to talk about COVID-19 at the global level now that the dust has settled a little bit. So early in the COVID-19 pandemic, we heard things like pandemic preparedness doesn't matter, just look at the USA, or border restrictions do nothing, or authoritarian regimes managed outbreaks better. These claims were purportedly based on data early in the pandemic, but were these claims about preparedness, strategy, and structural factors true or not? So, just to take each in turn briefly, preparedness, the Global Health Security Index, is one proxy for national pandemic preparedness, and it's a comprehensive criteria-based assessment of health security capabilities, which is comprised of six categories: prevent, detect, respond, health system, compliance with international norms, and risk environment, giving an overall score out of 100. And the image on the right shows the global distribution of scores on this index, and I've pulled up New Zealand just as an example, so you can see what the scores look like. And now, before the COVID pandemic, higher scores on this index predicted fewer deaths from communicable diseases, so it had been validated in that sense. So we might expect that countries with higher global health security index scores would have better COVID-19 pandemic health outcomes. Second area, strategy. So separate from preparedness, when the pandemic begins, there are different pandemic strategies available to jurisdictions. You can try to exclude the disease before it arrives. You can try to eliminate it if it has already arrived and get down to zero cases. You can merely suppress or mitigate the spread, or you could do nothing at all. And there's a framework for this is in the published literature. We might expect, ahead of the pandemic, that jurisdictions taking a more aggressive control strategy might lead to better health outcomes. Structural factors. We know structural factors are important in health outcomes. Decades of research has drawn a link between democracy and better health. Evidenced on the left here from studies across 170 countries across four decades. And additionally, there are links between inequality and poorer health outcomes. But early in COVID-19, we sort of saw this mixed U-shaped picture when inequality and COVID outcomes were analyzed. So early, there was a bit of a paradox brewing now. So early in the pandemic, preparedness indices were generally not associated with pandemic outcomes. The figure on the far left there shows the ordinal ranking of global health security index scores in the OECD in blue, and a composite metric of pandemic outcomes in orange. And you can see there's really no relationship there. In the center there, there's some results from a study in Africa that showed actually an inverse correlation. The higher the score on the preparedness index, the worse the outcomes. And that was the same across 100 countries around the world. So what's going on? Well, there were data and methodological problems with some of these early analyses. For example, on the figure on the left as an illustrative example, countries with different population age structures had very different mortality. You can't just compare reported deaths. To illustrate, country B in that left-hand figure has more people over 65 years of age, and so has a much higher mortality than country A, despite the same risk profile. Additionally, there are wide differences between the reported deaths down low and the calculated excess mortality at the top of those bars there. And excess mortality is a much better metric because we compare the deaths in 1 year versus some prior baseline to find out the difference rather than just rely on what's being reported. And it differs by country, this gap, and it differs by things like democracy score as well. So you see the low democracy scores have a much wider gap between reported and excess mortality. So Ledesma et al. And some other studies took some first steps towards untangling this mess at the global level. They corrected for data quality and population age structure and controlled for structural factors like income. And they found the expected result. Global health security index, as it goes up, death goes down, which is what you might have expected ahead of the pandemic. But this study faced its own methodological problems and a critique by Gellerman et al. basically pointed out that, well, if you're doing linear regression, you've got to make sure that the assumptions of the method are met, such as linearity of the data, for example. And we can illustrate the problem here with data for GDP. You see in the left panel of each figure, there is this highly skewed data towards the one side. And after a log transformation, we can actually then fit a line to the data. And so we have some linear data to work with. And Ledesma et al., unfortunately, in that paper, did not log transform their GDP control variable. And if you do that, their statistical associations vanish almost entirely. But we thought maybe there's also something else going on. There could be two groups within the global jurisdictions that are exhibiting opposite trends, and it's kind of cancelling out, and you're not really seeing a clear trend. So we know that islands had much lower mortality than non-islands in the pandemic, and a lot of islands had actually very low preparedness index, the small island developing states and so on. So this is likely complicating the picture. So we asked, across three studies, do preparedness index scores, or strategy choice, or border controls, or democracy levels, or inequality, predict excess mortality due to COVID-19 when using quality data and analytic methods? And if we analyze islands and non-islands separately, do some new and interesting patterns emerge? So we compiled a global data set. In our regressions, we included all countries with data. We obtained high quality cumulative excess mortality data with age standardization from the global burden of disease study. We appropriately transformed skewed data, we separated islands and non-islands, and we included theory-based control variables. So in our first study, we had three models. In model one, we replicated Ledesma et al.'s finding that when all jurisdictions are combined using the GHS Index 2021 version, we found that the index predicted excess mortality in the theory expected direction, just as they found, without transforming the variables. And the second model, so that's the top row. In the second model, we conducted the same analysis using the pre-pandemic 2019 version of the Global Health Security Index, which hadn't been tweaked in response to the pandemic, so there's no charge of circularity. And the transformations, as were recommended by Gilliman, and lo and behold, the associations, statistical associations, disappear for all jurisdictions combined. Yet, the association remained for non-islands as a separate group. So, for non-islands, better preparedness predicted lower death. And so, third model down the bottom here, we added government corruption as an additional control, and the finding persisted as well. So preparedness predicts excess mortality in non-islands in the expected direction. But what does this mean practically? Okay, so in the figure on the left, basically it shows that a 10-point increase in that preparedness index predicts 2,700 fewer deaths, lives saved, in a hypothetical country of 10 million people. And the right-hand panel shows the difference between islands and non-islands. We see in the red here that high index score non-islands are below the regression line, low death, and low scoring ones are above the regression line, high death. And when we look at islands in green, it's just a random scatter, and it's not really, there's no associations to be seen. So moving on to strategy choice, jurisdiction COVID strategy. Strategy is not just a list of interventions. It is an expressed goal. And elimination of the disease may be preferred where there is limited healthcare capacity and few ports of entry. Mitigation may be a more feasible, in a large urban area with lots of people coming and going and dense infrastructure. And we see in this graphic here, the middle box, the lower pink box, is islands, showing that islands have a lower, towards the left, excess mortality than non-islands, which is the box immediately above them. But if we look down the bottom, that skinny bar at the bottom, these are the jurisdictions listed here that took an explicit exclusion and elimination strategy, and they show the lowest age standardized cumulative excess mortality. And it's actually negative. You're actually less deaths during the first 2 years of the pandemic in these places than would have been expected in normal times. border control strategy. So we examined the duration of the strictest level of border restrictions that countries implemented. And duration correlated with reduced excess mortality in islands, but not in non-islands. So there's some implementation feasibility perhaps going on here. And there was a formal, so this is the correlation I just mentioned, there was a formal island interaction. And looking at the graph, you see islands in blue, the islands that had the longest border, strict border restrictions had the lowest excess mortality. Which brings us to structural factors. So the Lib Dem index provides a score for sort of the degree of democracy. And on the left, using the same methodology as before, just with a different predictive variable, we see that a 10-point increase in the democracy score predicts 34 fewer deaths per 100,000 population in this study for islands. But for non-islands, we see no relationship. So there's something going on here. The democracy seems to provide an advantage for islands, but not for non-islands. So democracy's health advantage seems, in a crisis, seems conditional, perhaps conditional on strategy, implementation, feasibility. Finally, inequality, we saw the opposite pattern to democracy. So in non-islands, a more equal society, i.e. a lower Gini coefficient, predicted fewer deaths. And we also looked at GDP, which I haven't talked about, GDP growth. But the only sort of interesting finding was that across the three studies was sort of the lack of association between GDP growth and all these variables. So there's other factors that are driving GDP, but an exception was with inequality in non-islands, where a higher degree of inequality predicted a greater economic contraction in the first year of the pandemic. So, some conclusions. We can see that methodologically, data quality and appropriate analyses matter immensely in risk science. And actually, we saw the complete reversing of the results of these early hasty analyses and perhaps a rush to publication at the outset of the pandemic. There's a risk of jumping to conclusions. Preparedness is important for non-islands, but border controls mattered more for islands in the COVID-19 pandemic. So moving forward, preparedness indices may need to treat islands differently and offer different advice, perhaps around border control capabilities or quarantine facilities or these sorts of things. Structural features of politics and society, such as wealth and equality, are associated with better pandemic outcomes. And democracy's advantage might be contextual. We saw it most strongly in islands, as I said, perhaps to do with feasibility reasons. And finally, pandemic strategy choice matters, but so does the contextual ability to actually implement the strategy. So there's just citations for four of our papers that tangled up in that presentation. And thank you very much.